These high-quality implements they give us in the...
Sorry for the delay, there's lots of conversation.
Microphone.
Microphone.
Thank you. Sorry for the delay, I think, you know, we may have more delays. Depending on how we move forward. So, can you get the motion back up on the screen, please, Patricia? So, before we take a vote, a couple of things. One is, I want to make sure everybody reads the motions and understands them.
Can you what?
Increase the tax size.
Well, we can do one piece at a time. I want to make sure people are reading it. And the other thing is, there is some specificity we need, particularly in the land on proposal around the amendments layer, so that it is similar to the other proposals that are very specific. I don't want my staff having to figure out what range of criteria should be used there. Let me just add, the other thing, we've got sort of some competing issues here. There has been some discussion over the lunch hour on whether we can find commonality on some of the things. And I was trying to do that, and when I looked at each of the PHBs, I found at least two options for every PHB. With the exception of the 3-foot vertical obstacle. And I know people wanted to make this more simple for the staff to move things forward. So I'm having a hard time finding where the commonality is. So I'll just stop there. Does anybody else want to address that? Board Member Davis?
Before you do that, since it's my motion, the intent was not to make it simpler for staff. The intent was to make it simpler and more clear and with better information for the board members. So, and I could care less about the staff. But I think that the board should ask the full information to make a decision.
Well, you guys are getting paid.
I'm just being facetious, but my intent was so that we have better information to make a decision, and I for one am not, I don't feel qualified, nor am I willing to sit up here and go through item by item and find commonality from the things that that's what you're asking. So
I'm just standing suggesting that's one of the conversations that's going on.
Is it my turn?
Go for it.
I care about the staff. So I think for me, and I want to speak for our co-manager, the anatomous floor is really darn important for a lot of reasons, but the fact that our salmon and steelhead populations, our wild populations are what they are, and the fact that we see diminished economic activity around fisheries compared to the level of investments the state and the and forest industry and others have made in salmon recovery, I think is really important. So I don't want to lose sight of that. And so part of me was reacting a little bit to the to a 2 to 10% range. I do understand that taking a look at that is important to make sure we get that right. So I want that on the record. The anatomous floor is really important to the department. I also got to talk with a lot of amazing people at Parade. And I understand that the way these alternatives are constructed, it's important to take a look at them, because if we break them into different pieces, then the analysis may not work out, may be flawed, right? So if you just say a 5% may mean something in a different proposal that's been constructed than 5% in a different, another proposal. So I wanna respect that. I do respect that. So I guess that modifies my original thinking a little bit, but I, for the record, will not be letting go of the anadromous floor anytime soon. And I would want us to be more conservative on that anadromous floor during the period that we're doing validation monitoring, because we can't lose fish. At the same time, again, at the risk of making this conversation more complex, I don't want to be dismissive of the fact that this board makes rules for forest practices that are used by local governments in their land use decisions. So when we had the Suquamish tribal policy person here, that is very true in my world. We will pass rules, and they will be adopted by local governments and applied on the ground there. And so I had some great conversations with folks that, and I'll go on the record again, forest and fish is the best land use system we have in the country. And there are other land use systems that are more or less effective in achieving our goals here. Forest industry and Conservation Caucus and others, local governments have been strong champions of fish passage. We've got to get barriers out of the way downstream so that they can access all our map work that's been done upstream. And so I guess, you know, this is the way I think about this, we're operating in a much larger system than the construct we put around ourselves here at the table. And with that, I don't like winners and losers. And given the points I made about separating these elements out and how that would cause a bigger disruption in the force than I originally thought, I'll conclude with, you know, anadromous floor is really important to me.
Mr. Chair, for the record, one other comment.
Member Nelson.
For the record, just to correct what I said earlier, it's not that I don't care about staff, it's just that's not my primary concern in making this motion. So, my apologies.
Board Member Sweeney.
So I want to acknowledge and support what Board Member Davis just said. I know the HCP covers a lot of species, and a lot of species are important, and this is a long-term plan, so it's not as if the non-listed species that are in the upper reaches of streams aren't important. They are important, but because of the condition of steelhead and salmon stocks in the Yakima zone are in more peril, I do think it's very important to pay attention to that. I also want to acknowledge that, you know, sort of keeping these proposals whole helps, I think, with a cleaner analysis. And I also, you know, want to make a nod to the sort of sense of procedural fairness by having, you know, the main proposals being analyzed. I mean, I think that is a good thing. And I think everybody having the information that they need to make a decision is important. But I do want to kind of hang on to this caution of, I do have a training in ecological economics, and studying cost benefit analysis was like a big piece of that. And it was pointed out by many scholars that when you are weighing things that are easier to quantify versus those that aren't easier to qualify, we all have perceptual biases to make decisions more skewed towards the things that are easier to quantify. So it's not that one set of information is more important than the other. But given that we, that some of the fish benefits and fish impacts are going to be a little bit more difficult to quantify because of uncertainty, I would just like to be on the record to say that we should take that into account when we get the results of this analysis. And I know that industry gets uncomfortable, so they've heard in testimony when we talk about a precautionary principle, so I kind of try to avoid, you know, using that frame, but all else being equal, fish need a benefit of the doubt. And I know the statement I'm about to make is potentially sort of out of bounds about what the biop said or what the HCP said in terms of sort of shared risk. But fish took the brunt of risk and management for 100 years before force and fish was passed, and we're on a recovery trajectory. So none of that is to say that the concerns, the economic concerns and the need for economic viability of the industry aren't in there, and that is our job. We definitely have to do that. But when we're walking the line of having to make a decision, you know, we need to take into account, you know, what the fish need, and we need to take into account our obligations to the tribes. So I'm essentially supporting the motion on the table, but with the caveats of we need to take into account the fact that the decision is going to be hard even in the light of this analysis, and there's going to be uncertainties, and we'll have a lot of weighing of things to do when we're done.
Well, Member Davies.
One question, and then a comment. Is this, are we looking at three separate motions here, or is this one?
We can take them as one or a while. I mean, the movers and the seconders have been agreed to all three pieces, so we can take it as one if you like. If there are amendments to any parts of the three parts, you know, we need to do that before we vote.
Okay. Sorry. I would rather see them as separate. We need to do that. But then the other question or clarifying point that I wanted to make is the UCUT proposal that Ray presented. I believe he got up and made an amendment to that.
For the unanimous floor, yes.
Yes, and I just wanted to make sure that is included, that his amendment.
Staff noting that.
Mr. Chair, do you mean amend the motion?
So I think before we vote on this motion, I'm going to take us through what I understand to be the PHBs, just to make sure we're clear on what that motion means. Okay.
Yeah.
So you want me to do that now?
Yeah.
All right. So, well, let me ask the mover and the seconder, are you guys okay with splitting up the three pieces into three different motions?
I'm not sure why you want to do that. So the second one up there refers back to the top one. Is there a reason? I mean, those were added on to clarify from this original motion. I don't have a big heartburn over that. I just wonder why we have to do it. I just said, you know. Up or down? No.
Well, I mean, so do you have amendments to any parts of the three?
On the third one, it feels a little bit prescriptive to me to work with the Fish Habitat Technical Group. I mean, I feel like that should be, that there may be a different body or a larger body or a more inclusive body, and I'm not sure that particular group is the right one.
Are you suggesting that I get replaced with stakeholders, including tribes? Not the tribes, or stakeholders.
The tribes are in sort of a conservation.
I'd just rather have that type. I mean, I just, would like to have some more flexibility on what that group is.
How about if we just add "and others" after the group? And other stakeholders, would that be?
That's fine, as long as they have familiarity with the process, because the statement reads, we want this group to report back on how we're going to be able to implement this, so it presumes that there are people that are experienced in the implementation, as long as that's a common theme, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, we want to find out how each of these three options could work on the ground. Okay? Is that okay with the second? Okay? Other amendments to this? So let me go through what I think is on the table. The Westside proposal, the Westside Tribal proposal is Westside only, correct? David, with a 10% floor for an address zone, a change in 5% for the gradient metric, 2-foot ankle width for the width gradient, 3-foot vertical obstacle, and 30% gradient and elevation change greater than 2 feet upstream of ankle widths. Have you got this table? This is what I'm reading from.
So this leaves out some details, though, right? So you're going to go back to the full proposal for the analysis, right?
Stephen, my motion was, as presented this morning, and when Jim and David came up there, I asked them the 2.9 version of we have, they said yes. So that's what the motion is for. I'm not sure about this matrix.
That's why I'm asking David to look at it, because I'm trying to, that piece of paper we got had a lot more in it besides the PHP. So I'm trying to look at just the PHP part of it and make sure that.
Microphone, Chair.
So David, I think the PHP elements themselves is correct.
Thank you, David. And board member Nelson, for the landowner proposal, it's both east side and west side. As you said up there, it's test 15, which would make it the 0.8 ratio, not the 0.7, correct? Three-foot vertical and a 20% gradient on the non-vertical. And I assume that's as the science panel moves forward. And then for west side only, you'd like to suggest an anadromous form, but you haven't been specific with a percentage. And
I'm not even sure about the 0.7 ratio versus 8. What I proposed was the presentation that they carried moved forward this morning. I don't remember which one that was. So I'm getting confused with this matrix, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm just reading from the motion you put out, which is in test 15, which is 5% gradient and 0.8 width.
Right.
Then we're good, I think. And then the obstacles as presented by the science panel. And then going back to the anadromous part, can you guys agree to a specific percentage that we can analyze under the anadromous board? Instead of a range? As far as No, the unanimous four right now, yes, it's around grading.
I would like to see a variety of those. I would like to see if they could guarantee the 10%.
Well, we've already got 10% on the table, I'm asking it.
Yeah, but it's not quite the same 10%, because there are differences in the language, as you understand, so. But why can't we do more than one?
Well, I'm trying to, whether you like it or not, I'm trying to keep the analysis simple for when the data gets back to us. So.
You're just trying to clarify.
I am. Okay. Go ahead, Paul, he's thinking about that.
Thank you. I just am noticing one other, I think, clarification that needs to happen is that under the West Side Tribe's proposal, the vertical obstacle is, should be scaled to the thankful way.
Yes. Then UTEP proposal is statewide, it's 10 and 2, and Ray, is this a slightly different obstacle than the science panel put forward? No? Okay. And then a 10% floor for unanimous, correct? Okay.
What is the program rating?
Well, yeah, I think, first of all, on the 0.7, the 0.7, if I'm reading the matrix correctly, that came out of option 7, which was the initial report, and it was switched to 0.8 for option 15 in the second report. So to be consistent with what the science team did, let's stick with test number 15 on the second report, which is 0.8. On the varying gradients, you know, the 2 to 10, I just picked numbers and I'll probably get in trouble for it, but let's do 5, 7, and 10.
Okay.
Because I do care about staff.
It'll take a while for you to get out of that one.
I keep saying it till I believe you.
All right. So. Any other concerns about the motions up on the or where we need clarity? Yes, board member Janet.
Overall, I support the three pieces of a singular motion. I just want to make sure for the record that this concept of the ID team, earlier in our meeting this morning, you questioned or stated that we'd already decided we are going to keep the ID team in place, yet I would really like to hear back from the technical group as to what those specific situations would be that would be able to invoke ID team, and it's not an every analysis, it's not a bypass to the FPAM process, and it's not going to happen every time, so when does it make the most sense that it is utilized? It seems like we need some tentative rule to rulemaking on that too, but that may already be presumed. I just want to make sure it's there.
Probably is. We don't call an ID team on every water type mod now, so my assumption is it would be the exception to the rule when we can't get concurrence on a water type mod is generally when it happens, and we all go out in the field and try to determine what the best spot is.
And in a lot of cases, the ID team will be constituted for another reason than review unstable slopes or wildlife consistent or something. So they may be there anyway.
Okay. Yes, I understand your concern. Ray, did you have a clarification?
Yes, the obstacle difference was different than the science. It was in the letter.
Okay.
I got as lost as you guys did there.
Okay. So can you explain what the letter says?
No.
I have it.
I have it.
You guys are killing me.
Share the pain.
For the record, Rand's Dallas contract, you got it. Chair on the NAB, board members.
I think that.
I'll second that.
I'm having a great time. I'm gonna stay forever.
You know what? I'm gonna amend that right now on the record. We're gonna go with what the science group said.
All science.
All right, so are we ready to call a question?
I have another question. So the way that the proposal now includes distinct sets, like 5% and 7%, and 10%, but the tribes also have 10% in the Neanderthal zone. The original proposal had technical work group getting back together and doing some analyses and providing that to DNR, but would we dispense with that, right? So it's DNR staff that would do all these analyses, right? So I just want to be clear on that, that the in terms of the options specifically within the anadromous zone, there's three now, and that's being forwarded to DNR staff to do the analysis. Okay. And then the second clarification, just because the lower end of that range in the anadromous zone, my understanding from listening to the science panel and listening to the tribal presentation, it is at least in one set of judgments, it is not going to be protective enough. So in addition, there's been a lot of attention on the cost-benefit analysis, but there's also a SEPA analysis here, right? And so this screening of like what the impact of all of these options are on elements of the environment, including the object or the purpose of the rule, which is to protect fish habitat, like that will go through SEPA. And if there's some sense that some alternatives might be more impactful than others, might that trigger going from a PNS to a DS and needing to do an EIS on one of the options? So we're not just doing the cost benefit analysis on this, and at least in some fisheries biologists' opinions, an anadromous floor of 5% might have more impact on fish than an anadromous floor of 10%. So I just want to make sure that we're all cognizant of the fact that this isn't just going through a cost benefit analysis, it's also going through SEPA analysis, and so we would have to take into consideration whatever information would need to be brought forward to assess the environmental impacts in addition to the costs and the benefits within the context of a CBA.
I wouldn't want to presuppose that, but I would think that it would show a negative benefit.
And just a reminder, I mean, the responsible official will have three choices. ENS, or termination, non-significance, drain, kicker option moving forward. And that determination will occur, and you will see that at the June meeting. It's a preliminary determination, and then we go through the full public. After if you would see that one too. But the other two choices is a mitigated DNS, that, or a new DNS or some kind. I would suggest that if we ended up moving towards an EIS as an option,
that may be the reason that we figure out which option we want to put forward in scenario two.
Board Member Davis.
Need a clarification on the clarification. So I heard the clarification was that DNR staff would be doing the analysis. So I just want to make sure that I have it clear in my head. So DNR staff will be working with the Fish Habitat Technical Group and other stakeholders.
Mr. Chair, can you scroll to the bottom of this?
It's just on the implementation, Jeff. It's just on the implementation of whatever options come up with, not on the analysis.
So clarification, when we think about the anatomy, I'm wondering how that fits into DNR doing an analysis on the anatomy zone when we have other people with expertise on informing maybe that analysis. So I just want to clarify how we're thinking about this. DNR staff is cut down.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm out. Mic drop.
So let's just be clear about a couple of things. Okay, so.
Chair Brown.
I haven't called you up. So the DNR will have a plan moving forward.
Understood.
They will work with stakeholders to draft a rule. They will work with stakeholders to prepare draft guidance. They will be working with other resources within the department to do the cost benefit analysis, the SBIS, and so forth. There's every reason to reach out and get information from others on that, and that will happen, including your staff or tribal staff.
Just have a lot.
Yes. So there's nothing, and if we need to acknowledge that in there, we can. Second paragraph. With that, direct staff in consultation with stakeholders to incorporate the other options.
Right here?
No, the next paragraph above.
Next paragraph up.
Yeah.
Direct staff.
Who?
Stakeholders.
Stakeholders.
The motion is going to page two.
Yeah.
Make long motions.
Okay. Is that helpful? Does that help you? Does the motioner and the seconder okay with that amendment? Okay. All right. Are we done? Yeah. You want to make public with the conversation on?
Yeah, I screwed up like I thought I would. My original motion had the Fish Habitat Technical Group involving more than just the stakeholder reporting back to the implementation. It was involved with, and I guess you could consider them stakeholders, but a consultation to incorporate the above language into the rules.
So stakeholders will, and I think staff has already reached out to the policy leaders to find out who they're going to be working with. And if a particular caucus decides they want their, what we call them?
Fish habitat
technical person to be part of that stakeholder process.
Right.
And they can. I mean, that will be up to each caucus.
Okay. I'm just trying to get this as consistent with the three options that were presented as possibly can. So I think we should probably make sure that that's the case. That the Fish Habitat Technical Group will be involved with the second part of the motion. They're not really involved with the rule of origin guidance. Well, I guess they would be, but the analysis part of it.
Well, members, please.
So I'm a little perplexed as to why you guys would need more than what's already up there, and I'm a little uncomfortable calling out the Fish Technical Group specifically as an entity. It feels too process heavy to me, and it feels like they're, as an entity, being granted too much importance or too much weight. And so I am comfortable with the motion, assuming the concept is that DNR will reach out to the technical expertise that they need to conduct the analyses. I'm not comfortable specifically calling out that one group. And people on that group can be reached out to, and other people not on that group can be reached out to, but I would start to, it feels too specific and too process heavy to have it be constructed any other way. So that's just my 2 cents.
I'm okay with that. The intent is that I don't want to exclude the people that actually have the expertise on from this process. So if they're considered stakeholders, and we had this discussion that's on the record, I want them involved in this to do the analysis and the rest of it. That's understood. Leave it like it is. That's fine.
Mark? So as when we construct the groups that we're going to work with, we go to the policy leads and we have them nominate people. It's within the power of each stakeholder to nominate those individuals who they want staff to talk to and work with.
Okay. Any other clarifications on this three-part motion? Board Member Davies.
I was just looking at the UCUT letter and the proposal here, and the second bullet point is actually a little bit different than the panel. And I just want a clarification here, Ray.
Go with science.
He made an executive decision for his tribes. Okay. Any other clarifications? Are you ready to call the question?
Yeah.
All right. So, would you please read your motion? Sure. Tom Nelson moved the Forest Practice Board accept the following PhD options, potential habitat rate options, to be included in the draft rule proposal and accompanying analyses, : 1, no action, - existing rule language, ; 2, UCUT proposal as presented at 2/14/2018 meeting, 3, Western Tribes proposal as presented at the 2/14/18 meeting, and 4, landowners proposal as presented at the 2/14/2018 meeting, parentheses, test number 15 from the science team's recommendation, plus their description of an anatomous layer eastern and western Washington. He moved the FPD direct staff in consultation with stakeholders to incorporate the above PHP options into rule language, guidance, and required analyses, parentheses, CBA, SBEIS, and CBA, to accompany the draft water typing system rule. He also moved to direct staff to work with Fish Habitat Technical Group and other stakeholders to report back at the June meeting on the ability to implement each approved PHP option. Second, no rule. Okay, Hariba.
I have one more technical, I'm quite sure.
So some modifications have been made from sort of what was presented.
Yes.
And we get into trouble when we pass a motion that doesn't reflect what we actually discussed. So both the UCUT and the landowner proposals that we have agreed to incorporate in this motion are different than what was presented to us originally by the stakeholders. And so I think that the language needs to say something like, if you were amenable to this, UCUT proposal as clarified during board discussion, and then same thing with the landowner proposal, because those have changed.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Chairman, should we use the term amended rather than? The proposal was amended.
The two changes on the landowner's proposal would go to the point eight from the items of the test 15 rather than point seven from the original, and then to go instead of a 2% to 10% animals for the test of a 5, 7, and 10. Those are the changes. It's on the table.
So, did you catch that, Tricia? Instead of saying clarified as amended? Okay, thank you for keeping us straight on that. Any other clarifications? Scroll down a little bit.
Read the bottom. Bottom.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna call for poll question and vote. Everybody in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign? Any abstentions? Motion passes.
Can I go meet my grandma?
Yeah.
So, a couple of, things that I want, I think, I want to talk to the board about, because I don't want to hide the ball on anything. I'm very concerned about some of the public testimony yesterday about wanting to start the economic analysis with last fish, because that's not how we do business today. So, my premise, unless the board votes otherwise, is that my staff is going to be doing the economic analysis starting with Fish Plus, and then looking at the changes from Fish Plus for each of these options. So I just wanted to pause there for a minute.
I'm not sure that's what we've been voting on, it's an existing rule. Now, I personally think we should look at both of them, but I think we just said we're gonna look at the existing rule. I mean, part of the reason we're doing this is to go from the existing interim rule with some of the rules, so.
Representative Davis? I think the language we just voted on, in my interpretation, is it says no action, which is kind of our current practice.
Well, it does say existing rule, but what if, you know, if it's not a big problem, haven't you voted? How are you gonna quantify Fish Plus now? Just wherever we put the habitat being at?
Yes. Correct.
But maybe the only option we have in a lot of cases, because we're not gonna know when the fish is unless it's in the system, so.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. Moving on, the other thing that I'm very concerned about, and I want to be upfront about, is there was, the science panel was very clear yesterday, I thought, about how laterals should be treated. And unless otherwise directed, that's how I'm gonna ask staff to move forward with laterals. So, assuming they're accessible, then the bottom end of that lateral will be the starting point for looking upstream to determine end of habitat. So, I also want to be upfront about that, so that there was no conflict about that when the results come back to the board in June.
As long as that's consistent with what the proposal was. Yeah, I'm not that familiar with all these proposals and all the details.
That was a recommendation I got from the science panel. I think that's how the science panel did their analysis, correct? Okay, thank you. All right. Thank you for all that work on potential habitat breaks. Let me ask if there's any general public comment for the afternoon. Ray and Ken Miller.
Chair Bernath, members of the board, Ray Ennis with Kalispell Tribe, you've got, I just wanted to clarify that in our letters to the board, captured in the Kalispell letter and a separate letter from UCAT, we had asked the board to direct the AMBA to hire an Eastside Science position. And yesterday I got the distinct understanding that the board has amended that back to policy. And I honestly think that's a problem. We have not corrected the problems in the adaptive management program yet. There is no accountability in those processes, and that's why we brought it to the board. We expected you to act on it. We did not expect you to remand it back to TFW for discussion and inclusion in the MPS. We would appreciate it if the board would do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Bernath and members of the board. I'm Ken Miller, representing Washington Farm Forestry Association, 1,000 small forest landowners waiting for the adaptive management program process to reach a conclusion on our West Side lower impact template proposal so you can make any final determinations. Hans and Mark will be reporting later in the agenda, so I hope to keep this update simple and not steal their thunder. We are now entering, starting the year number 4 since the board approved this proposal for review by the Adaptive Management Program. From a time standpoint, it still appears most likely nothing will come to you for a vote until late 2019 or more likely early 2020. The primary reason my estimate from November has been extended further because DNR has had to restart the critical science review process, and Hans will fill you in on that later agenda item. I was very encouraged by our last TFW policy subcommittee, or template subcommittee meeting, where we attempted to share our individual perceptions of the legislative intent of the various RCWs and WAC differences to smalls and forest and fish. I wish more folks were forthcoming with their perceptions, but I certainly commend Mark Hicks once again for doing his homework and sharing in the true spirit of TFW. Without knowing how folks interpret the legislation, it's hard to have meaningful collaboration. We do have another meeting scheduled for next week where we have several options for potential progress while we await complete science assessments that we hope will narrow the differences on at least the 4 major site-specific prescriptions. These potential agenda items include 1, continue seeking consensus that our proposal is actually designed to meet some or all of the qualifications for a template and WAC. Second one that came out of the last meeting was provide some help to DNR defining the criteria for what qualifies as a low-impact template, something that's also required in WAC. And thirdly, review the elements of a couple of the past failed template efforts as discussed at the last board meeting in hopes of either or both defining some previously agreed or agreeable metrics that might help some minor prescriptions in the draft template so we'll be more ready for bigger science-driven decisions, or perhaps even finding an agreeable portion of the template worth bringing to you for interim approval before the adaptive management process is complete on the full proposal. And listening to the prior discussion, I think that those two things kind of tie in with what board member Davis was suggesting on the previous topic. So anyway, I'd be happy to take any questions, or perhaps it'd be better to wait until Hans and Mark come up later. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kat. Okay, board member Davies, did you have a question regarding public testimony?
Yes. We cannot. I'm just trying to figure out how to respond to Ray's concern, and it is something that I
share.
And I believe, thank you, to remand it to policy yesterday. That was not my intention. I do not think that the board can make hiring decisions, but correct me if I'm wrong.
So here's the way I would suggest this goes. CMER, along with the adaptive management administrator, and ultimately with policy this spring, has to present us with a budget in May. And if we're not happy with how that budget looks or the decisions and policy bring us, we are free to make changes to that budget when we approve it. Would that be a satisfactory?
So we could make changes to that budget. We do not like that budget. Thank you.
Generally, we accept their recommendations, especially if they're in consensus. But there have been times when we've suggested minor improvements. Okay. Ray is smiling at me. Okay, next topic, electronic signature and payment rulemaking. Mark Ratcliffe's gonna come up and talk to us. As you know, we're hoping to build an electronic business system that will eventually replace FPARS, which means what we want to be able to do is for forest landowners that choose to submit their applications electronically and do electronic payment. But we also, and so currently, we can accept electronic applications, but we don't have authority to accept electronic signatures for electronic payment. So this rule is all about giving us authority, or giving DNR authority to do that. So you want to go from there, Mark?
Yes, I would like to start off saying Mark Ratcliffe, Policy Services, Chair of the National Review Board. Do you like options and proposals? So mine is, I can give you the 30-minute pop or the 1-minute proposal comment.
One.
So the Forest Practice Program is working on a business system to accept electronic submissions of applications and the payment. They're going to do maps online. That's called FP Online, I believe. And when that's in place, that'll allow electronic formats to be accepted. This rule precedes that. So the adoption today of that rule would ensure that when that business portal is available, that applicants can do that. Last August, we directed staff to file the proposed rule. It was available for public review in October. We had one public hearing in January. where we combine not only electronic, but also the public public disclosure request fee rulemaking into one hearing. No one showed up for that. It was basically a staff team building. We did receive one comment letter on the electronic payment and signature. The letter suggested that the authority or allowance for electronic payments be specifically mentioned in rule. And I'll briefly just touch why we elected not to. The current rules do not specifically mention how payments can be made now in cash, check, hand delivery, or mail. We have always maintained that the phrase application notification implies the physical application and the payment. We need both to process that. It's incomplete until needed done. And the FPA instructions will be the best place to house that availability. Again, by hand delivery, by mail, snail mail, email, and then through this electronic portal. Again, we believe the instructions, FPA instructions, is the best place to put that, to spell out exactly all the options. If the board adopts this rule, it would be effective late March, I believe.
Any questions for staff regarding the electronic, the acceptance of electronic signature or electronic payment? We'll make it. Any questions? Do we have a motion, please? Thank you. Could I ask the board member to please take the initiative on that?
I move the Forest Practices Board adopt the rule proposal amending WACs 222.2010 and 222.2030, providing the option to utilize electronic or electric formats when submitting forest practices applications to the department. I further move the board direct staff to file a CR 103 rulemaking order with the Office of the Code Revisor.
I ask staff, should that say electronic? This is all about authorizing electronic signature and electronic payment. Should that actually be specified in the motion, please? Instead of saying formats? Thank you. Is there a second? I'm sorry.
I'll second it.
Board Member Gunther. Any discussion by the board? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Board Member Davies.
Thinking about the motion, it just passed a moment ago, and have a question about clarification. Can I ask that?
Which one?
A couple ones ago, that big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big hanging one.
Yeah. I believe at the very bottom, that was just partly why I was hoping we would do it in pieces. We didn't. So. The third piece that specified fish habitat technical group. My concern is that group doesn't have a clear mandate, chair, or any, as I understand it, it came together on its own, which is great, but I feel like we should, if we've just given them a charge, we should give some structure to that group. Who's on it, who do they report to, what's the makeup? It just feels a little, we just asked them to do something without even knowing who they are or what's there. Can you see what I mean?
So if you look at the motion, it says direct staff work with the technical group and their stakeholders. So staff will be in charge. And they, I believe staff understand what the objective of that third piece of the motion is. Okay, is that clear?
I guess if they're clear, I mean, is it okay to ask for their, like, I don't know, I mean, if I'm just trying to.
Mark, you want to respond to her?
Some structure, so they know who they're dealing with, what the mandate is, who's in charge.
So, we do know who is in that group. Yes, it was an ad hoc group which came together, and they've actually been very beneficial to the whole process. We're aware of who the members are, as well as the other stakeholders. We're still going to work through policy needs, and we'll reach out to the group. What this is really about is as we develop guidance, we're going to go out on the ground and field test the guidance, and we will definitely reach out to every member of that group and invite them to participate.
Okay, so it's inviting them to participate as well as other stakeholders who are helpful.
Right, and we, for the record, we've already reached out for both who would want to participate in the writing of the rule as well as development of the guidance. So we already have stakeholders assembled. We'll just now reach out to this other group if their names have not already been submitted. I know that a number of this group have already committed to participate as part of the group that's developing the guidance. So if not all the group, I don't know all the details.
So you don't feel that any kind of more formal structure is necessary at this point?
No. It still will be the DNR, as the chair has said, we hold the pen, we're developing the guidance. This is a matter of bringing together field practitioners to go out on the ground and actually test the methodologies and then report back to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Moving on, public records fee schedule rulemaking. Again, Mark Radcliffe will be here. As you know, the 2017 legislature amended the Public Records Act. As a result, the board needed to amend their rules to identify the fees associated with public record requests to the board. Mark would provide an update on the rulemaking process and request board action. Correct.
So, the board, there was two options in that legislation, the actual cost method and using the statutory default. The board chose the default that allows the public to clearly see what the costs are, and it's the most cost effective. That's the one we went with. And the new amounts cover everything from electronic files to the paper copies that we do now. In the October meeting, you directed us to file that proposed rule. The draft language was available for public review in October, and then we had the public meeting in January. And there was no public comments, but one comment letter. And the implementation or the effective date for this rule will be March as well, if you so like.
Do we have a motion?
Ready?
Go for it, Board Member Smith.
I move the Forest Practices Board adopt a rule proposal amending Chapter 222-08, which implements House Bill 1595 by identifying the fee structure the department will use when collecting fees for public record requests. I further move the board direct staff to file a CR 103 rulemaking order with the Office of the Code Advisor.
Second.
Member Jackie, second. Thank you. Any discussion by board members? No discussion. Everybody in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes.
Good job, Mark.
Hans, you come up, please. As you recall, we've had a board subcommittee working on identifying efficient and effectiveness improvements to the adaptive management process. That subcommittee had directed through the board to have to do some low-hanging fruit things like identifying how co-chairs would be replaced, et cetera. However, the subcommittee didn't feel like they could go after the more difficult issues without having a facilitator to both have TFW principals come to the table as well as to deal with some of the more difficult issues. So I'd like Hans to give the board an update on where we are on hiring the facilitator.
It's all right, Chairman Burnett, may I start the conversation?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I will let Hans fill in the details, but from the, I just want to thank this board for entrusting this work to a subcommittee, because I think it really is important work. We, in early December, interviewed a number of facilitators, and in that process, I was really impressed with the quality of RFP responses that we got. Paula was there for all those interviews as well. We were able to select and bring under contract Connie Lewis from the Meridian Institute. And she was probably most impressive because of her work in other forested, big forestry issues. She worked with the Oregon Department of Forestry, and they had a large multi-stakeholder assessment that had to be done for forest management practices. So very similar to what we would be doing here. She also has had some really incredible stories about working in the Tongass National Forest up in Alaska in the Southeast, and then a breadth of other really large, some wildlife management issues, but really big issues. She's intelligent, she's articulate, she's succinct, and I just think she will do a really great job as we think about the different stakeholder groups that we have in our big mandate of bringing back trust to the process. So Hans, thank you for coordinating and organizing that. I think I'm thrilled that we have Connie to help us out with that process. So to that end, we have a subcommittee, a doodle pull out for subcommittee members. David is on the committee, Paula, Stephen, myself, I think Jeff, you're acting as staff to the committee, not an official committee member.
I'm so confused.
Okay, well, I don't know if that can happen. I don't understand with the board as staff.
I don't have any reason to believe why he couldn't. As long as we don't have seven.
I can't count that high, so I'll leave that to Phil.
Yeah.
But that, and Brent, thank you. Yes. So I think the group is good. If you haven't filled out that doodle poll, we need to get back with Hans as quickly as possible so that Connie can make travel arrangements to be here. And the big order of business will be for all of our caucuses to identify who particularly they want to see interviewed by Connie. And I think of it in the top-down mode. There's been some question whether we're going to do individual interviews or group interviews. And I really think it's important for the committee and the board, if there's inputs and the caucus, to tell us let's get those big top interviews done first so that we can do a trickle-down and follow-up interviews as needed. But I guess with that, Hans.
I have nothing else to add.
Oh, the attorney is waiting. I'll get off the microphone.
I was just going to say, I think we've determined that there are six, if
board member Jeff Davis is also on the committee. That would be six board members, which is okay, but no other board member could drop in on those meetings, or it would be an official meeting with the entire board, which would need to follow the special meeting process of the LPN.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have nothing to add to that.
Just look at, you've got her in your packet with this.
So any questions from board members about how we're moving forward on this?
Yeah, I don't have a question. I just say good work. I'm really glad to see it. Important stuff, big step.
I'm excited. Between the successful meeting we had on cultural resources last week, sending that to this word, I'm hoping that that will actually provide us that we still do this, and having Connie lead us forward on reinvigorating our process. You got anything to add, Austin?
I don't. I think that was great.
Yeah, I just want to thank the subcommittees for, you know, all the time and hard work during the process. Thank you, board member Wall.
Coming up.
Any other comments?
Okay. Next topic. So I asked Hans to give us an update on the TFW policy subgroup progress on the approval initiation for the Western Washington Low Impact Template proposal that Tim mentioned earlier, and where we are at on that proposal.
Sure, I'm happy to provide that information. I don't know, Mark, do you want to come up as well?
Sure.
He'll come up. The only reason I was asking is because there are two distinct parts of this. There's a science evaluation, a science track, and then there's also this policy track. And so the first thing I'll touch on is the science track. Since the November meeting, we have had a change within the science track, and Ken alluded to that earlier. We had a contractor that wasn't performing at the level that we really needed, and so we dismissed that contractor, and we're in the process of finding another one, another contractor to fill that role. Now, the good news here is that we went through a rigorous process the first time around, and our second choice for this work was a very strong second choice. And in fact, the person that was awarded the contract, after being awarded the contract, sought to subcontract with our second choice. So I think we really ended up in a good spot. And the second thing is, as Ken alluded to, the last meeting of the subcommittee was really productive, and the meeting in policy to talk about what the necessary actions are moving forward, with a deliverable date to the board, a final outcome for the August 2018 meeting. We're on track to meet that. We had to recalibrate ourselves to what those necessary steps are. But I think going through that process has provided clarity to that group to identify those essential elements they're going to need moving forward. And so I think we're going to be okay, and we'll be able to meet that deadline. I'm confident that will happen. The policy part of that group has also met to talk about some of both the integration of the science and the policy. And they are really waiting for that technical piece on some details before they feel that they can really move forward on evaluating whether or not it meets the criteria of the template from the MAC.
Any questions from board members for Hans? Okay, thank you, Mark. So if you recall at the November meeting, because of the delay in the West Side template process, particularly on the science side, it was becoming clear to me that we needed to do some work. And so there was a suggestion at the November meeting that we brush off a couple of templates that had been worked on in the past and see if we could have some forward motion on those in the interim while the West Side PI continued on its path. And So Mark is here to report on progress on taking a second look at those two templates.
So good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Mark Engel, System Division Manager for Forest Practices. At February's policy meeting, that seems like a long time ago, it was a little more than policy did talk about the motion that the board brought forward at the November meeting regarding the looking at two low-impact templates, which have been worked on in past years and in which the board had requested that policy again look at. The reason why the policy committee as a whole talked about it is that we are a subcommittee or a subgroup of policy, and so we wanted to bring it forward to full policy so that there's complete awareness of what the subgroup's work will be. The subgroup did, as Ken pointed out, talk about the technical work, the science track work. Hans just gave an update on that. We did talk about some of the interpretations around the statute and what does constitute a low impact template and how we should approach the assembling of a template. And we had not yet started work on reviewing these two templates. I'm happy to say that the group has scheduled a meeting, and I believe it is next week. And at that meeting, we are going to begin to look at these two templates. So we will begin work. And the good news is that we have the technical work going on the science track. When that's done, we will be able to bring forward full recommendations to policy. We will then, through the AMPA, report to the board regarding the conclusion of the proposal initiation and the original low impact template, and then we'll also begin to report on the status of the review of these two additional templates.
So, board member Gunther, you had some concerns about how things are moving forward.
Well, I
answered most of your questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I just, on behalf of Ken Miller and the small forest landowners, I just impressed on the persistence that these folks have, small forest landowners, and the work that they're trying to do to present this template and the work that you're doing. And you know, I know that it's really not a motion at this time, but I would hope that the board would do everything that they can to come out and take a look at what Ken Miller and his group have been doing at his place, and it might give the board a little better understanding of, you know, we'd be on the ground taking a look at what they're proposing. So I'd encourage you in the future that you consider that and take a look. So many times looking at something is much better than just sitting here talking about it.
Thank you. Any other questions from board members or more on this topic?
I just wanted to follow up. Well, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Wanted to follow up with Mr. Gunther's comments on, I've been on this board not too long, about a year and a half, but I don't know if any of the rest of you are getting tired of Ken Miller pleading for us to go out to his place as a small forest landowner and take this tour. I know I am, and frankly, I would like to go out and see it.
I went without you guys.
Yeah, and I probably so did too, but I don't know what, how we can orchestrate that, but I guess maybe I may have to go up there on my own too. I mean, I think it's a reasonable request, and I think the board should consider it.
Board member Janicki.
All right, I would encourage board members to take Ken up on his invitation, and I guess from maybe hopefully a little bit of a tiny bit of inspiration is, I remember a transformational time for me in understanding forestry was a travel to Finland, where there are 500,000 landowners who manage their little piece of forest, but they understand their forest, and it's possible for them to do it with the way the technology is set up in Finland, but the way they, I guess, we should be able to make it possible for small landowners who have 20 acres or 40 acres to live and work a forest and not be discouraged by overly bureaucratic, I mean government, but overly bureaucratic process. And so, like, at the county level, we are putting together a rural, my forest advisory board is putting together a rural forestry proposal that's coming through planning to do just that, so that a landowner will only have to do critical areas on the 1 acre where their house is gonna go and not disturb, in a non-disturbance, and leave under DNR rules the rest of their property. But if it's so frustrating that they can't do it, they'll convert. They'll go into conversion mode and short plat that thing and drop in 4 houses on 20 acres. And that makes me sick to my stomach when I see it. So let's help them so we keep our forest lands intact.
Thank you. Any other comments for board members for Mark on this topic? Okay, last agenda item. 2018 work plan review. Can you tell us if we need to make any changes to our current plan, which means not before we adjourn today?
So I believe you all have a copy of the work plan. Very short, but there are some changes as a result of the last 2 days. So under board manual development, board manual section 23 is listed twice. Staff recommends that part one, field protocol to locate and map divisions between stream types, that would be changed from August to November. And the plan also had section, board manual section 23 part 2, the perennial stream identification, originally as either August or November. Now just make that November. The good news there is that with the time, there is a high potential that we can give you a complete board manual, both parts 1 and 2, for approval at the same meeting. Then as you go down for rulemaking.
And Mark, that's for final approval.
Final approval.
We will see a draft before then.
Right. Now, the draft that you will see as part of the CR 102 is that part of the board manual which provides the guidance in order to implement the rulemaking or the elements in the rulemaking that people need to review. So it would be primarily FHAM, the fish habitat assessment methodology, and the associated potential habitat breaks. So the information around that's what you're going to get as part of the 102. The determination of the uppermost point of perennial flow to determine the break between a perennial type N water and a seasonal N water will not be brought forward at the June meeting when you're reviewing the 102. So it'll be a complete manual ready for review and approval at the November meeting, a partial manual to accompany the rulemaking.
So if I just heard you right, you're suggesting you'll add the uppermost point of perennial flow by November?
The board's original work plan had either August or November. We're maintaining the November date. We will have the group together, but we're dropping the August part because everything now will be November.
Okay,
now we go down to rulemaking, water piping systems. So now we need to change the CR 103, that's your final step, rule adoption, from August to November. And then the water piping system CR 102 would actually be changed from May to June 27th. And I'm being specific on the date because if we say it a month, that implies the regular meeting date in that month. This would become a special meeting of the board specifically on June 27th. And that's the full extent of the changes.
Any comments from board members
from the work plan. Okay. Board Member Lloyd.
Just to note, it would be nice at some point to integrate the work that's happening with the consultant and the TFW stuff on here somewhere so that we can kind of see where it's falling. I know you don't have it figured out quite yet, but it, in terms of our calendar, that would be nice to be able to look at stuff.
That's, we'll make note of that, and as the process is initiated, we'll add it.
Yeah.
And I would imagine for the May meeting, that it will show up on the.
What you're asking for is more specificity than just on.
Well, it'd be nice to see it on the calendar.
I'll work with Hans to get a timeline that's realistic.
Any other comments from board members on the work plan? Do we have a motion?
I move we accept the work plan as amended today with the meetings.
Exactly what I have. I'll second it.
Thank you. Board Member Smith is seconding it.
Patricia.
Any discussion from board members?
Read it. Exactly what I read.
No discussion. Everybody in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes. And with that, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much for your hard work.